So my talk today is an exploration of nature in both of these senses. After my long retreat, I discovered deep ecology. And although I am totally unqualified to speak about it, I still want to share it with you. Because deep ecology seems, potentially at least, to be a form of Dharma. Certainly in the sense that it's a way into a view of ultimate reality. And it's one that addresses our place in the natural world. So what is it? What is deep ecology? Well, ordinary ecology is the science of natural relationships, the study of all beings' relations to one another and to the physical environment they live in. By studying how all beings relate to one another, I think one gains a kind of overview of all life everywhere, which could presumably, in the right conditions, lead on to a kind of insight. However, scientific knowledge tends to be used, doesn't have to be, but it tends to be used for promoting what we human beings want. And that generally comes to mean whatever ensures us a comfortable and convenient lifestyle. So in that way, the potential for insight through an ecological overview is rather spoilt, because there's this very strong self-serving ego that's observing it. And we know that for insight to arise, the ego has to dissolve. So that's where I think deep ecology comes in from our point of view, because it looks for a viewpoint on life within which mankind's needs form just part of the whole picture. The whole of life is seen as an interplay of forces, so one finds a truer, a fuller overview. Deep ecology is simply an exploration. It's not a hard philosophy. It's a way that anyone can use to gain a deeper viewpoint and act from it. Obviously, that exploration is still a human construction. But nonetheless, one tries to see things as they are, and with compassion. It's a vehicle in which one tries to let go human self-cherishing, to seek deeper truths, undiscovered truths, for the sake of benefiting the whole of life. Well, perhaps in itself, this still isn't quite Buddhism, but it's close. And for existing Buddhist practitioners, I think this begins to evoke the perspective of the Mahayana. Ultimately, it looks like it can evoke even the perspective of simultaneous emptiness and compassion. Certainly, some Buddhist teachers take this perspective very deep indeed, right into anatta, anicca, shunyata. For all life forms really do depend on each other, ultimately, for their existence. We actually define one another. And so in a certain sense, we are one another. So from this perspective, we start exploring interbeing or interconnectedness. My identity can't be described as separate from anyone's. In a sense, I am my enemy, because she or he is not separate from me and has a strong influence upon me. We are all inseparable in that sense. I mean, such reflections can seem obscure when you're not in the mood, I know. But that's inevitable. It's inevitable. No one can explain interconnectedness in a way that everyone will find intellectually satisfying. You can't do it. Like everything, when you look into it, it's inconceivable and cannot be expressed in words. The real nature of identity and ownership can be revealed only to the individual through deep reflection and meditation.